dressing room upstairs, Havoc, Alchemist, and I discussed our set list while eating sandwiches and drinking beers. Alchemist set up and brought us our mics. Showtime. My favorite song to perform from America's Nightmare was When You Hear Her, produced by Alchemist, because it sounds incredible banging through those concert speakers. I had suggested that Al make a beat out of the score music from the movie Scarface. Every time Al Pacino's character, Tony Montana, got angry, this crazy keyboard sound came on. I always wanted to make a beat out of that, so Alchemist finally did it. Fly, Rondo, and Derek were waiting in the dressing room after the show with some real pretty Puerto Rican ladies they found in the crowd who wanted to meet us. We took pictures, then Havoc and I sat down on the couch to catch our breath and cool off. I always ended up out of breath and soaking wet from sweating while performing, feeding off the crowd's energy, so I had to rest for 20 minutes after shows. None of us had seen 50 in concert before, so we went downstairs to watch. Last to leave the dressing room, I approached the staircase. One flight down, you turn to the right, then another flight down. The G-Unit entourage was on their way up and kept to my left as the Mobb Deep entourage headed down on my right. As I started my descent down the right side of the stairs, a big white security guard in a G-Unit t-shirt put his arm across my path and held onto the staircase railing so I couldn't go past him. "You can't come down," he said. "G-Unit is coming up." "What? Well, my boys just walked down past him and he decided to stop me?" I looked at him like he'd lost his mind. "My people are going downstairs," I said. "Excuse me." He stiffened his grip on the railing. "You have to wait. G-Unit is coming up," he said, stopping the stairwell traffic. I was wearing my big platinum Infamous Records chain, flooded with diamonds. This fool can't recognize me? "Man, get out my way," I said, flung his arm out my way, and continued down the steps. He made some disrespectful comment as I shoved past him, so I turned and shouted, "Man, shut the fuck up." Someone was tapping my shoulder. It was 50. He was trying to say what's up and give me a pound, but I didn't notice because I was arguing with that fool. "What up, man?" "My bad, man," I said. "This bitch-ass nigga trying to stop me from coming down." "What up, P? You good?" 50 said. "Yeah, we about to watch you perform, man." I proceeded to catch up with my boys. As I went down the last flight, I tried to calm down, but the security guard reached through the railing, grabbed my arm, and yanked it hard as if he was trying to pull it out the socket. "I'll fuck your punk ass up," I shouted, but he walked into the dressing room upstairs. We found a spot in the corner with a good view of the stage. It took 10 minutes to get my mind off of what had just happened. I didn't calm down until DJ Who Kid started 50's show with "What Up, Gangsta?" and 50 and his entourage ran on stage. We were just as hyped as the fans in the crowd. After the song, some idiot in the front row threw a drink in a plastic cup at 50 and hit him in the chest. 50 took off his G-Unit spinning chain, handed it to one of his boys, jumped in the front row, and started beating the culprit. Then jumped back onto the stage and continued his show. The crowd went nuts. Surveying my surroundings as the next song started, I saw the big white security guard in the crowd to my right. I couldn't resist. "Hey, yo, do you know who I am?" I asked. "Look, I'm sorry, man. It was a misunderstanding," he said. "Yo, what the fuck is your problem? You stupid or something?" "It's just a misunderstanding," he said. "I apologize, man." "Just get over it and enjoy the show. Forget about it," I told myself, though I was pissed. This dude tried to rip my fucking arm off. I lightly pushed his chest as I went to turn back to the show. He grabbed my arm again and yanked it the same way. Without delay, Little Lord punched him in the mouth, and Rondo hit him with a left and a right to the face. I put my rose gold Rolex and chain in my pocket and waited for an opening so I can get my punches in too. But my boys beat him into the corner next to Fly. Then Fly treated his face like a punching bag. Fly, Little Lord, and Rondo stepped back to see if he'd fall or fight the opening I was looking for. I hit him with an uppercut left to his mouth, and his tooth dug in my knuckle. Then I hit him with an overhand right to the side of his jaw and dropped his ass. His G-Unit shirt was hanging off him, and his pants were around his knees. We ran out the exit door to avoid getting locked up because we had just beat up one of the club security guards. From the corner of my left eye, as we were running out, I saw the G-Unit crew jump off the stage. Illa G and I jumped into my truck. Illa took the wheel, and the others hopped into the Turtle Top van. My left knuckle felt broken and was dripping blood. As I looked out the window to the right, about 10 G-Unit crew members ran outside. "Where they at? Who was it?" they shouted. One looked at me through the truck window while I was shaking my hand in pain. "Who was it? It was Prodigy?" he asked his boy. I would soon learn his name was Haleem. "Come on, man, forget it," he said. "It was just Prodigy." I then realized that the guard we beat up was G-Unit security. A police squad car idled at the parking lot exit, waiting for traffic to move to pull out. So we had to wait. 10 G-Unit dudes, some of whom wanted to retaliate, stood scattered around our cars. The squad car pulled out, and some of the G-Unit dudes were in the way of the Turtle Top van. Little Lord opened the double doors and shouted, "Hey, yo, get the fuck from in front of this van before I start laying niggas down." He was bluffing like he had a gun, but none of us had guns that night. Lord's bluff worked. We hit the highway headed home, my hand throbbing. I called DJ Who Kid to apologize to 50 for beating up his security guard. I didn't know the guy was with them. I thought he worked for the club. I should have guessed from his G-Unit t-shirt. Who Kid connected me with 50. "What up?" 50 said. "What happened?" "Yo, first off, I didn't know he was working for you. I thought he was the club security," I said. "You saw me arguing with him on the stairs. He put his hands on me, so we beat him up. You guys would have done the same thing if somebody put their hands on you." "No doubt. Don't even worry about it, P. It's all good," 50 said. "You're okay, right?" Yeah, I'm good." "All right, cool. I'll speak with you later." And that was that. My hand swelled like a Mickey Mouse glove the next morning and kept bleeding slightly. The swelling didn't go down, and after a few days, my hand took on a greenish tint. I went to the emergency room, and the doctor told me that it wasn't broken, but it was infected. She said the human mouth had more germs than a dog's mouth, and if I had waited any longer, they might have had to cut my hand off. That dirty mouth security guard almost cost me my hand. Back to normal after a week of antibiotic. I decided from that point on to aim for the nose instead of the mouth. New York radio station Hot 97 was promoting a free Nas concert in Central Park. "Wow," I thought when I heard the ad. "This is going to be a major event." The only major Central Park concert I could remember was when my grandmother did the Diana Ross show, and I was too scared to go on stage. The next thing that popped into my mind was, Mobb Deep needs to be a part of that concert. Nas and I were beefing at that time because of his Build and Destroy song. He was trying to discredit me, and I was just defending myself. I never had anything against Nas. In fact, I loved him like a friend and mentor until he showed his true jealous, envious, and greedy color. Then I had to flip on him. I still loved him. But when I heard about the Central Park event, my business mind kicked in. "Yo, let's holler at Sonny, tell him we want to perform," I told Havoc. "After you shitted on him, he probably won't do it," Havoc said. I reminded Havoc that Nas took shots at me first, and I only did what I was supposed to do in retaliation. Plus, it was petty. I told Lil Lord to reach out to Nas' boy, Tim Lord, and find out what was up. Lil Lord said the same thing Havoc said. Okay, I'll try, he said. I doubt it, though. A week later, Tim Lord called back and said Nas agreed. 4th of July weekend, 2004, I was drinking Incredible Hulks with Illa G and his boys Black M and Ant at Brooklyn Drinks in Bed-Stuy, a bar where we were regulars down the block from Woodhull Hospital. It was great to have Illa back home from his 5-year bid in Virginia when he got caught in that house raid. After Brooklyn Drinks, we drove to Alchemist Crib in Manhattan to link with twin Al and Al's brother Neil Diamond to celebrate Illa being free and Independence Day. Alchemist made a deal with Koch Records to release an album, First Infantry, and had received his advance, so he splurged on a new Porsche SUV. Al drove his Porsche, and I took my Denali XL to Club Chaos on Avenue A in the Lower East Side. The bouncers let us in with no problem, and it was packed inside. DJ Cutmaster C from Queens was spinning. We went straight to the bar and ordered a round of drinks. Cutmaster C walked from the DJ booth over to us. What's up, P? I want to introduce you to my man, he said. A little light-skinned dude beside him said, Yeah, I was locked up with your man's Lil Lord from Queensbridge. He started name-dropping people from QB. My name is Webb. Yo, why you can't do a song with my artist Joe Button? Well, I can't do a song with Joe Button. The way he said it turned me off. Nobody ever asked me to do a song with him. Who said I can't do a song with him? I looked at that clown like he had 4 heads. Your man right here know how to get at me if y'all need a song, I said, pointing to Cutmaster C. Then I gave both of them my back. I hadn't even gotten to take a sip of my drink yet. There were some good-looking ladies in the spot, and a few of them started to creep their way over to us. Just as I was about to reach out and grab the hand of one who was standing at arm's reach, somebody slapped a drink out my hand. When I turned, it was Webb, being held back by his boys. I took off my thick necklace and wrapped it around my fist like brass knuckles. Security ran over and jumped between us. They pushed Webb and his boys to the exit. Let's go outside and handle these clowns, I told Illa and Twin. Illa was on parole and didn't want to violate, and I didn't blame him. You know my situation. If you want to go get them, I'm with you, Illa said. Let's go right now, I said. Outside, they were nowhere to be found. I figured they were still in the club, and I walked to the corner to get my nickel-plated 25 from my truck. My man Black M saw me and said, Nah, give me that. You ain't shooting nobody. That's my job. You rap, I shoot. We waited across the street from the club for 10 minutes when these fools came stumbling out the front door. Security body slammed one of them on the sidewalk. Twin ran across the street and snatched the necklace off the kid lying on the concrete. And Illa grabbed a 40-ounce beer bottle from the garbage and threw it like a football at one of the others, hitting him dead in the face. Black M grabbed Webb, trying to snatch his chain, but got a handful of shirt instead. Black M put the gun to Webb's stomach and squeezed 2 shots. Webb spun around to free himself and avoided both shots. He and his boys ran away at top speed. We hopped into the trucks and peeled off. Wow. Club Chaos was chaos for real. And the fireworks exploded that 4th of July. The following night, I had a copy of a popular DVD street magazine called Smack DVD at the studio, featuring an interview with an up-and-coming rapper from Spring Valley, New York, named Saigon. Alchemist had made a couple of tracks for Saigon, but I hadn't heard any music from him that grabbed my attention. But while Havoc, Little Lord, Fly, and I were watching his Smack DVD interview, Saigon did something that grabbed all of our attention. Pulling out an America's Nightmare CD, Saigon said, I'm tired of washed up rappers like these niggas right here, holding up our album cover so the camera can get a good view. All these old-ass rap motherfuckers need to give it up and make room for the new artists. I'm tired of the same old bullshit. Saigon sparked a lighter, set our album cover on fire, dropped it to the ground along with the actual CD, and stomped it with his boot. Wow. We were in shock. We never did anything to Saigon. That clown wasn't even on our radar. He was obviously just trying to make a name for himself. It became Saigon hunting season. A few days after seeing the Smack DVD, Alchemist's brother Neil had a small birthday party in downtown Manhattan's Tribeca neighborhood. Rondo from Queensbridge, Godfather, Gotti, Twin, Alchemist, and I were drinking Coronas in the back of the bar when Saigon walked into the spot. Oh man, here we go. The 9mm Ruger on my hip was concealed under my shirt and leather jacket. Look who just walked in, I tapped Rondo and told him. It's Saigon. Godfather walked over and told me the same thing. Saigon spotted us staring at him, so he walked straight up to me. Yo, Pete, I want to apologize to you about that Smack DVD. I know you must have heard about it by now, he said, looking like a scared puppy with his tail between his legs. I'm a big fan of Mobb Deep. I don't know what was wrong with me, man. I said some shit I shouldn't have said. That was some real disrespectful shit you did, man. What's up with you, man? I said. Yo, I swear I'm a fan of your shit. I love Mobb Deep, he replied. Please forgive me, P. I fucked up. I could step on this clown like a roach if I wanted to, I thought. If he'd have spoken with the slightest bit of aggression in his voice, I would have snapped on Saigon. But that clown was chirping away like the bird-ass nigga he was, singing sweet songs of forgive me. Being the intelligent, compassionate person that I am, I told him, you know what? Forget about it. We all say things that we regret sometimes. Don't sweat it. We good. Listen, I just want you to know that I really love Mobb Deep. Ask Alchemist, I'm your biggest fan. Saigon chirped. All right, man. Don't sweat it, I said. It's a small thing to a giant. I really am a fan. No bullshit. I felt stupid when I saw that DVD. I don't have no problems with y'all. You ain't gotta explain all that. It's over, I said. We good. I'm a fan, P, he kept chirping. I'm just a big fan. Rondo sipped his beer, staring at Saigon as he said it again. I grew up on your music. I love Mobb Deep. Then Rondo cut him off. Man, shut the fuck up and get away from us before we hurt you, nigga. There was a long silence. Saigon looked at Rondo, looked at me, then turned and walked out of the bar. We all laughed. Come on, we can't let him walk outside after that, I told Rondo. Let's make sure he doesn't try to ambush us. A foolish, cocky person would have laughed and continued partying because Saigon looked like a coward. But I knew better than to beef with a person and let him go outside without following him. That person could be hiding outside with a gun, waiting. So we walked outside right behind him. Yo, these dudes is fronting, son. Saigon was running his motor mouth to his boys. He turned and saw Rondo and continued his tough guy act because his boys were watching. Rondo stood in front of Saigon looking down at him. What's up, nigga? What you want to do? Rondo asked. You pussy. Yo, I ain't got no beef with y'all niggas. Back up off me. I'm trying to leave, he said with bass in his tone. Saigon's boys pulled him away, but Rondo was in his face calling him pussy. I ain't got no beef with you, P, but I'm gonna see your boy right here, Saigon said, motioning to Rondo with his finger. Rondo was seconds away from punching Saigon. Come on, let's bounce. I'm gonna end up clapping one of these niggas, I told Rondo. They're not built like that. Let's go. I'm not into fighting. I'm a gunman. I'm guaranteed to shoot somebody if I got my gun. A very ignorant, negative mentality, but that's just how I was. So I tried my best to avoid shit like that. I'm gonna see you, nigga, Saigon screamed as we walked to my truck. I'm gonna see you again. You soft, nigga. Shut your fucking mouth before you get hurt. Godfather shouted back. Sagan started walking slowly towards us. So I walked back over to him. Go home, man. I told you it was all good, but you keep talking, I said. You making it a problem. Your boy tried to play me. If he wants to fight, then we can fight, Sagan said. Niggas ain't trying to fight, son, I said, grabbing Sagan's left hand and tapping it on the gun on my hip. Just go home, nigga. You bugging right now. Sagan finally shut up. It was drizzling rain on the day of the Central Park concert. Slowly, our crew of seven, Hav, Fly, Rondo, Little Lord, his two boys from Marcy Projects, and I, made our way through three crowded police barricaded checkpoints. Security guards led us to Nas's trailer. I knocked on the door while the rest of the crew stood outside. Nas's woman, Khalees, was sitting on the counter with a camcorder in her hand, filming me as I walked in. Nas, his boys from Queensbridge, Super Ed, and Fakie, was sitting around talking. Yo, what up, nigga? I greeted Nas. You don't love me no more, Nas said. Why you think we came here? I miss doing songs with you, nigga. Yeah, right, you don't love me no more, he said, playing around. Okay, whatever, man, I said. Fakie walked over and said, P, we need to talk. Then a security guard knocked on the door and opened it. It's showtime. Nas and Khalees walked ahead of us so they could hurry to the stage. Walking behind them, Fakie said again, Yo, P, we need to talk. Putting his arm around my shoulder for privacy. Son, what you making these songs dissing worming all of us? You already know what's up with all that. Y'all did what y'all did, and I did what I did. But you thought I wasn't going to say nothing back? I said. After Building Destroy and Ether, Nas and Fakie started saying slick shit about me on songs and being disrespectful. So naturally, I did the same to them. Now that clown Fakie was confronting me about it. Lil Lord walked over. Don't talk to that bitch ass nigga. Fuck him. You ain't got nothing to say to him, he told me. Fakie looked over at Lil Lord, then looked back at me and said, Your man here is about to get you into some shit. See, I don't got no problem with you, P, but your man here is about to cause a problem. Then Fakie stepped away from me, and he and Little started arguing. What you say, nigga? Fakie said. What you want to do? Nas and Khalees were way ahead of us now, heading toward the backstage gate. Fakie quickly reached in his pocket and pulled out his Nextel walkie-talkie phone and started chirping people backstage. Yo, son, these niggas think they're gangster. Get everybody together and meet me at the gate right now, he said. Huh, nigga, please. Fakie chirped again. Hurry up and tell niggas to come to the gate now. He looked at us and said, We gonna see who's tough now. When we get backstage, we'll see. Little Lord said, Cool, let's see. Nas and Khalees were already inside the 12-foot-tall white gate leading backstage. When the security guard opened the gate for us, 20 dudes were waiting for us to walk in. Assuming that they were the dudes that Fakie was chirping, Little Lord and his two boys from Brooklyn punched the closest ones in the face, then another. Everybody started brawling. Somebody slammed the gate shut behind us, locking Havoc and Fly outside. It was just 5 of us against 20. Fakie walked in before all of us and then disappeared in all the commotion. I noticed that for some strange reason, the 20 dudes and Fakie were all wearing dark green promotional t-shirts for Sean's album, Godfather Buried Alive. Sean was in prison serving 10 years for a shooting inside a Manhattan club with Puff Daddy. Fakie must have been helping promote Sean's album. So anybody with a Sean t-shirt was immediately considered an enemy and a target. As Rondo and I pushed and punched our way further inside the backstage area, Rondo looked at me, grabbed my arm, then pushed me to the side out of harm's way, shoving me right into Nas, who was watching the fight. My first instinct was to break Nas' face, But instead, I asked him, "Hey, yo, what's up with all this, man? You set us up?" Nas acted like he couldn't hear me. Khalid sat on the edge of the stage, secretly filming the fight. I looked around for Fakie, but didn't see him anywhere. Suddenly, all the Sean t-shirts started scampering away. Little Law's two Brooklyn boys had knives out, blood dripping from them. "Come on, where y'all going?" They taunted the Sean dudes, some of whom were taking their Sean t-shirts off and pressing them to their stomachs, chests, and heads to stop the bleeding. "Come on." I spotted Fakie hiding behind a staircase leading to the stage. Just as the fighting stopped, Tim Law handed Nas a microphone, and Nas began his show with New York State of Mind. Little Lord and Rondo walked over and asked if I was okay. "Yeah," I said. "Look at Fakie hiding behind the stairs." "Pussy," they barked at him. "What's up now?" Fakie stayed quiet behind the stairs and just looked at us. Tim Lord walked over and gave me a microphone. He told me to wait on the staircase to get cued in. Halfway up the stairs, I yelled at Rondo. "Hey yo, where's Havoc? Get Hav." 5 plainclothes police officers ran backstage. One of the cops grabbed a big closed umbrella from a picnic table and started swinging it between my people and Fakie's in an attempt to keep them separated. Little Lord's boys from Brooklyn still had their knives out in front of the cops, and the cops looked scared and didn't do anything about it. Khalees kept filming the action backstage, then turning the camera towards Nas performing. Havoc and Fly made their way to the steps where I was sitting. Busta Rhymes and Q-Tip were standing off to the side during the whole fight. Busta walked up to me and said, "Yo, y'all niggas is crazy, man. Why y'all fighting each other? I saw the whole shit." "Hey, shit happens," I said. "Y'all Queensbridge niggas is crazy," Busta said. Q-Tip just shook his head, gave us a pound, then ran on stage to perform the song One Love with Nas. Tim Lord gave Havoc a mic and told us we were up after Q-Tip. The only thing on my mind was, what if these niggas try to pull some bullshit while we performing? The music stopped. "I want to bring out some very special guests," Nas announced as his DJ LES dropped the beat for Eye for Eye. The crowd went crazy. That was the first time we ever performed that song together, live, though we were missing Raekwon from Wu-Tang. After we performed our single, Got It Twisted, from America's Nightmare, Nas stood between Havoc and me with his arm around our shoulders, kissed us both on the cheek, and told the crowd, "I love Mobb Deep, these my niggas." We regrouped with our boys backstage. "We gotta pay attention walking out of the park, because these niggas might try to ambush us," Little Lord said, but nothing happened. Later that night, as I told Kiki about what had happened, I wondered, did Nas set that whole shit up? Or was that just Fakie? Why was Khalees taping it all? Fakie better hope Nas never released that footage, because it would be proof that he's a bird and couldn't back it up when real niggas called his bluff. Soon after that Central Park concert, we took a few of our boys to a big DJ convention in Puerto Rico. The night we arrived, we bumped into Styles P and Jadakiss from the Lox and Pharrell from the Neptunes. Fabulous stepped out a limo with a large entourage and a good-looking female in a long white mink coat. He also had that kid Webb, whom we almost shot on the 4th of July with him. The woman in the mink, Gloria Velez, the famous video vixen and baby mother Aaron Hall from Guy, kept peeking over at me while standing with Fabulous, who was doing an on-camera interview. I motioned for her to come over, and she did. I asked her name, as if I didn't know, and we exchanged numbers. I never met Gloria before, but called her over to show Webb that I didn't give a fuck that she was with them. Webb was watching through the large lobby window. Fabulous finished his interview and was waiting for Gloria to come back, so I kept talking to her for a little longer just to fuck with him. I didn't have anything against Fabulous. I liked him and his music. I wanted to piss Webb off for that bullshit he pulled at Club Chaos. While Havoc and I were being interviewed in a hotel conference room later that day, Little Law spotted Webb and approached him about the situation.